Well, we want to say welcome back to the Heights podcast. At Heights, our mission is to love and to lead all people to a new life with Christ. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at Heights Baptist Church in Alvin, Texas. And this week, I've got some special guests. I'd like to welcome Rachel and Rogers to the podcast, and they're going to tell us all about the ministry that they are a part of in Africa. Welcome to the podcast, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to say thank you for being flexible. I only have two microphones, and I know there's three of us, so we're kind of doing the best we can today, but appreciate y'all for being here. So we were talking before we were recording just a few minutes ago, and just this past weekend at the church, you guys had a breakfast, and then you guys were also guests in my life group and talked all about your ministry, but I was gone. And so I have been sitting here asking you some very embarrassing questions because I know very little about your ministry other than the fact that you are the daughter of Terry Atkinson, who is very involved in our worship ministry. And so we are constantly lifting you guys up in prayer as a choir. We're constantly praying for you guys and thinking about you guys. And I see the postcards every time my kids go to midweek on Wednesday in the student ministry, the quarter that they put in for dessert is always for Nate, and we're helping out with his school, and so we're praying for your kids over there. But all that to say, I'm excited to find out a little bit about your ministry and what you guys do. So why don't you guys tell me and our audience a little bit about your ministry and what you guys do?
In a nutshell, our ministry is to come alongside families that are taking care of their orphaned relatives and help them in whatever way they need, which for most of them, it's school fees. School in Kenya costs money. It's supposed to be free, but it's not. So the families, that's their primary need for their orphans is the school fees. And then apart from that, we also do some agriculture projects and we do discipleship as we go.
Very cool. Now, how long have you guys been overseas?
12 years. We went in 2012.
Yeah.
So we are
coming up on 12.
Coming up to 12 in March next year, mm-hmm. Right?
Gotcha. And what's the name of the city where you guys do your ministry?
Actually, we live in Malindi City, but we do ministry all over
the county.
The county is called Kilifi.
Gotcha, Kilifi. Okay. Yeah,
which is huge, but we live in Malindi, a little town. That's where Vasco da Gama came, if you know a little bit of history, and that's where we have the Italian food. Yeah, it's a plus.
Good Italian food.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
How did you guys meet?
She met me, so maybe she can tell the story better than I can, because I don't remember.
You don't remember because you had a girlfriend at the time. Yeah. So he came to Texas in 2003, and he worked at a camp called Camp Tejas in Giddings, where my sister was also working. And so they became friends. He was the oldest of the summer staff, and she was the youngest. So they had like this kind of oldest and youngest camaraderie going on. So when I went to visit her, then I met him. And I had heard of him already because she was like, oh, there's this weird guy from Kenya. He's so funny. So I knew about him, and then I met him. And then he went back to Kenya. I went back to college, and it wasn't until the next summer he came back, and I also worked at camp, that we became friends. And he remembers that part, at least.
Yes.
So you guys met together working at Camp Tejas?
Yeah.
Very cool. And you guys have how many children?
Two. Nate and Ben. Nate is 13, Ben is 12. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Nate's the one I'm always thinking of because he's the guy. He's the one that's getting our quarters for dinner on Wednesday nights at the youth group.
Yes, he's the tallest. He is, of all of us.
Yeah, he's gotten tall. Yeah, like especially those last couple of years. Like, oh wow.
Yes.
I don't know what happened there, but it just happened overnight. I was like, hey, where are you going?
They do that. My oldest just turned 14, and it's We're in this kind of the same situation. I was like, who is this gigantic person that lives in my house? So how did you guys go about making the decision to move to Africa and do ministry overseas?
When I came to Texas in 2003, I came to that camp she was talking about. I got spoiled by getting fed 3 meals a day. That is something that has never happened before in Kenya. And at the end of the breakfast line, there was the fruit grapes. And I just fell in love with those fruits. So, because it was yummy, juicy, and all that. And I've never seen grapes before until I came to Texas. So when I went back to Kenya at the end of the summer, I started missing the grapes. So I said, I need to go to the market and see if I can find that fruit. Back then, we didn't have any grapes in Kenya because they come from Egypt. Today, we grow grapes in Kenya, but then we didn't. So I went and looked around everywhere, and then finally I found this one bunch, and I told the guy, you have to sell that to me. He said, this is very expensive. I said, so I just need the fruit. So immediately I paid for the fruit and got the grapes in my hand. There's a little boy who tugged my shirt like this, and he's like, I'm hungry. We call them street kids. I don't call them that anymore.
Right.
But that's what they're being called. So I looked at this kid, and I'm like, oh, man. I could have just slapped him or whatever, but I froze there, him holding me and grapes in my hand. The guy was selling mangoes, there were bananas and all that, but I didn't see that. I also saw the grapes in my hand. So this boy still tugging my shirt. I looked at him and said, do you want some grapes? He said, yes. Unwillingly, I had to let the grapes go. I gave all of it to him.
Oh, wow.
So as I'm walking home, I started asking myself, why did I come here to buy these grapes? I was not hungry. I just wanted to remember about Texas. So I said a little prayer. God, if you can make a way, after I'm done with school, I would love to come back home and run a ministry to minister to that kid. Mm-hmm. So I came. I kept on coming to Texas. I went to school here. But in my heart and in my mind, that voice is ringing. I'm hungry. So when we met and later down we get married, I'm like, hey, Rachel, you know what? There's this voice in my heart, in my head. And I told her the story. And we shared with our home church in Temple. And the pastor there, Brother Ridge Adams, said, you need to talk to other more people about this. Because if you have had this voice all this time and it's still bothering you, you guys have to make a decision and go and do this. So that's how we came to saying, hey, I think it's time for us to get everything and head back to Kenya and minister to that voice. In a nutshell.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. When you were growing up, did you ever envision yourself doing ministry overseas? Or was this like a totally different life than you had envisioned when you were growing up?
Yeah, it's totally different from what I had imagined for myself. I was going to be the one with like a good job making money and supporting people like us. And then when I started working, I realized that really wasn't for me. I mean, I liked my job well enough, but it was not fulfilling in the way that I expected it to be. And so then I turned to a short-term mission project and then married him, and then now we're lifers.
That's incredible. Now, are you guys affiliated with like a larger mission agency, or are you guys independent in your ministry?
We are independent. Because before we went to Kenya, we tried to talk to the corporate body, like IMB, Bakna International, and the answer was, we're not planning to do that kind of ministry in that part of the country, mm-hmm. so you cannot go under our umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So we're like, well, they teach us we walk by faith. This is the time to step out there, and Jesus will go before us and around us, and we're going to invite everybody to come alongside with us. So we are independent.
Gotcha, because God called you to a very specific kind of ministry.
Yes, yes.
So it wasn't a matter. You didn't just have a country in mind or, you know, I want to go to the mission field. You had a very specific calling to a very specific place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, tell me about how many students are you guys caring for in the course of your ministry?
So from 2012 to today, we've had 104 students. And this school year, which runs January to November, we had 55. So the the 49 have either graduated or some of them dropped out. Some of them, family members showed up who wanted to take over paying the school fees, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. But most of them, I would say, have graduated.
Very cool. And what are the ages?
So our youngest is about 12, and our oldest is in their 20s in university.
Okay, so you have some, so you're dealing primarily with secondary students, mm-hmm. and some, we would call it college, they'll call it university over there.
Yes. Yeah.
The 12-year kid we have, we picked that when she was a baby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she was like 2 years old. So she's been growing with us mm-hmm. All this time. And it's fun watching the transformation, because when we first meet them, it's like there's no life in them. They're hopeless. They can't go to school. Nobody cares. But the first thing we tell them is, we know that God loves you and he knows that you need education. So if you can trust him together with us, we can pray and wait on him to provide, and then you're going to go to school. And they're like, okay. So we do that. And then when God does what he's always been doing, you can start seeing these kidnaps, like they're coming back to life, and the life of hopelessness changes to hopefulness. Mm. And I wish people can capture that moment when the transformation happens. You start saying, oh, there's a human being living here.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And what it's hard for me to wrap my mind around, but of course, you know, living in the West, living in the U.S., public education is available to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, it's, you know, in most places it's compulsory. You know, you have to be involved in some kind of education if you're a child in the U.S. And there's just other places in the world where if you don't have the funds, you know, it's not, you know, it's not an option. And so what a difference that makes in the life of a child. So you were talking about the fact, we were talking earlier about how a lot of the students that you guys are ministering to aren't necessarily orphans per se. You mentioned several of them are going to be fatherless, mm-hmm. But a lot of them are in the care of their relatives, of extended family. Mm-hmm. But primarily, it's the finances that's the burden, or that's the barrier to being able to be involved in school. It probably varies depending on what age they are and where they're going to school, but like in rough numbers, do you know approximately what it costs for one student to go to school for the year?
Most of the high schools, the average I would say for high school is $500 a year. There are a few that are over that, and some that are, I mean, we have one that's under 200 because it's a day school. It's a range, but 500 is our estimate.
What's church like back home?
Everybody claims to be, I don't know what claims the right word, but everybody says they're Christian.
Okay.
They will find a church to go to on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. But do they live the faith? That's a different story. But almost everyone, like a bigger percentage of the people in Kenya, they identify themselves with Christ. Even though there's so many other religions, and all those also, they're considered religion, depending on which God you trust in. But we found this small church that was started 2021, so it's mm-hmm. really new. We like it. Because we just moved from another town to Malindi, so that's such as... We are trying to grow together with them. But everybody's claimed to be a Christian. When there's like a national holiday or anything, you see from the government, they invite all kinds of prayers to come. You have someone from the church, from the mosque, from the indigenous religions. They'll say a prayer to God, mm-hmm. which one that is, but.
So there's several religions.
Yeah.
It's a culture that's open to faith, spirituality, different kinds of faith, and a very large percentage of people that would identify themselves as Christians.
Yes.
So is that easier or harder than doing ministry in a place where the gospel is like not present at all?
in some ways it's hard because as he was saying, people think they're Christian because they go to church, but they've never been discipled. They don't know how to live as a Christian. They think being a Christian means you follow these rules.
Hmm.
And so it's challenging for us finding a church that we feel we can grow with. And we do teach discipleship, but at the moment we have few that want to be discipled. So praying for those who desire to be discipled to find us, or for us to find them, so that we can also grow together.
The other challenge is now that the population being claiming to be Christian, you would expect that things like what we are doing would be done locally.
Right.
But it's not.
Hmm.
They're like, that's not my responsibility. Hmm. So the idea that we are being called to look for the orphans and the widows, the church is not taking that as one of its responsibilities. So that becomes a challenge to us, because we're like, hey guys, this is what we are called to do. I mean, there shouldn't be no orphans in our churches that are not taken care by the church, but they don't see it that way. Because
hmm.
the first four that we had came from a church that we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember asking the pastor, do you have any orphans here? And he didn't even know. I was like, oh. So then we started getting these kids, and we were trying to incorporate the church. Can we do something for them? And they're like, oh, no, that's not. I'm like, okay. So that's one of the biggest challenges that we face it there. Hoping that the church can step up and do what we are called to do, but they are not there yet.
So you guys mentioned, in addition to making it possible for kids to be able to go to school, you also mentioned some agriculture. Tell me a little bit about that.
We realized there's a group of people that have been left out. They didn't go to school early enough, and now they feel that they're older, they can't go to school. So we started thinking about how about if the ministry can have a branch or whatever.
A project
that these people can come on board and use their hands, teach them some skills so that at the end of the day they have food on their table.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked five guys, and we built a greenhouse on our own, went to the woods actually, cut the poles, and went to the, if I say hardware, will someone know what I'm talking
yes.
about? Went to the hardware, we bought this material that it can protect the sun, but it wasn't good enough. The sun just busted that thing. We came back here and got provided for a real greenhouse, and we built that greenhouse, and we started growing tomatoes, which we harvested for 6 good months. And then we're like, okay, now you know what? We can start an orchard around the greenhouse. That way we can plant mango trees, guava trees, banana trees, orange trees. So we started digging zai pits, and people were like, are you out of your mind? It's so hot, there's no rain. You're gonna plant what? And my challenge was like, you need to watch, wait and see what happens. With a zai pit, all you do is you put the fertilizer in that one pit, and that you just water that area and you plant. So your plant is well taken care of in that small area.
Mm-hmm.
We planted 112 banana plants. Today we have 92 of those that are producing bananas. And we're like, you mean whatever you're doing here? I was like, that's exactly what I said, wait and see what happens. The idea is in the next 5 years, this section of the ministry will start producing mangoes, oranges, guavas, and all that. That way the community can come and get some food.
Mm-hmm.
The surplus we can sell. And we have a student also that the Skills for Life part of the ministry is taking to school.
Mm-hmm.
Because we identified two guys, one who had a passion for electricity and plumbing. So we took him to college. He got his first certificate. Another one wanted to do mechanical engineering. He's like, if the ministry buys vehicles, I want to be the one fixing those when they have problems. So it's just a matter of people coming, using their hands, and they support them to make sure that they have something to eat. Are they open to this? Some of them are still scared because, like, what is the catch? I'm like, there's no catch. The catch is you come, let's play with dirt, go home with food.
Sounds great. So you've got a So you've got a vision for not just meeting the needs of these kids in the future, making sure they have an education, but also reaching out to some of the people
in the community
that have been left out.
Yes.
Adults. So vocational education and also food and working with your hands and figuring out, wow, that's mm-hmm. very, very cool.
And we also have a water ministry attached to that. You could talk about that.
The water ministry?
Yeah.
The plan was to drill wells in the community and... The rig that we had wasn't good enough for the hard rocks. So that's changed now. We'll be buying a water truck, a tank truck that can go get filled up and then bring water to fill cisterns in strategic places.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So how can folks back home support your ministry and come alongside you and be a part of your ministry?
Home as in?
Yeah, here, here in Texas.
This home.
One of my summers that I was at Tejas, that is the Camping Giddings, we went to Houston, the NASA station. When we were there, there's this little room, they call it the Mission Control. I love that station because they made this statement, whatever happens up there, those guys are depending on the people that are on the ground here. Mm-hmm. So if there's any problem, they'll say, Houston, there's a problem. We need the people back home, number one, to pray for us. We cannot stand there on our own. We need those prayers 24/7. Number two, since we are just out there independent, we need them to come alongside us to support us financially. Mm-hmm. We cannot put these boys and girls to school. They need money. We don't have another job that we are doing to earn money. The ministry is all we do. Mm-hmm. So their prayer is a priority. Number two, we need financial assistance. Number three, we invite them to come to Kenya. Just hang out with this Texan girl. If somebody can come and just hang out with her for a week or so, she get refreshed. That way she doesn't get homesick for the 2 years we are there until we come back here. It doesn't have to be a big group. You can come as a family. You can come as an individual. If you come one person or two, we can house you where we stay. And then you can have a chance to walk down to the beach 5 minutes. And
5 minutes to the beach, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That sounds nice.
And then you can enjoy all the Italian pizza you want. In Malindi.
That's funny. One of my favorite pizzas I ever ate was in Piotrków, Poland, because they had a pizza place there that was just to die for. And so I went on a short-term trip when I was in high school, and we used to go there like every weekend. It was so much fun. So it's great to hear that we've got some great Italian food in Malindi. That's awesome. Wow. Well, thanks you guys so much for coming and sharing with me this morning, and thanks for getting us a chance to get into just a little window into the world of the ministry that you guys are doing in Kenya. Are there any specific prayer requests, things specifically that our online audience can be praying for you guys as we're praying for you, as we're thinking about you guys in these next few weeks or few months?
Well, the day after Thanksgiving, we head back to Kenya. Flying is complicated these days. And so prayers over our flight plan to go smoothly and everything to go according to plan would be appreciated. What else do you think?
God to bring people that are committed to supporting what he's doing in Kenya. We need that commitment. Yes, there are those people who just want to donate this money once and then they forget about the ministry. Mm-hmm. But we are praying that God can bring people that are daily, monthly committed, even if it's $10 a month, mm-hmm. to say, I'm going to do this for the ministry of Marshall Community every month. That way, I know God's going to provide. But it feels so good to know that his provision is there when it's needed. Yeah.
Gotcha. And I'll check with I'll get with you guys when we're finished and get a URL so I can throw something up in the show notes about a link where they can go and mm-hmm. find out more about your ministry. And once again, thank you guys so much for coming in today, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Heights Podcast. We would invite you, if you're in the Houston area, we have a campus in Alvin, Texas, which is on the south side of the Houston metro area, And we have services every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. with life groups for all ages at 9 a.m. And we'd invite you to come and be a part of a worship here with us at Heights Baptist Church. We also stream on online, Facebook and YouTube, our 10:30 service. And so you can follow us on social media, and you can find out more about our ministry at Heights at heightschurch.org. We'll see you next time.